What up? All right, I'm here with Tristan, and she's on my left. Yes. But I don't know how you might be your guys's right. So Tristan and Camohi, he corrected me because I am so white.
Nobody ever gets it right the first time. Nobody.
We want to say, you know, I have Arabic friends, and I always love when they like speak in an American accent. You know, and they like bring all of their speech from their throat to their nose.
Yeah.
Whoop, all of
yep,
them.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's very much so how I said your name originally. I apologize, but I now know how. So I really appreciate you giving me some leeway there. But
all good.
I'm super stoked. I think we may have even talked before. Did I call you guys like a year, maybe a year and a half ago about a deal out there?
I think so.
Yep. Yeah. And I think it was in on the Big Island too.
Yeah. I think we've talked to a few people on Pace's team just in general about like a variety of Hawaii related things.
Well, and I'm so stoked because we'll talk about one of those deals that you guys worked on. But what about like how real estate in Hawaii for me just feels like so daunting.
It's that's a good word. Daunting.
So how did you guys get into doing investment transactions in Hawaii? Because I don't feel like it's as common as people would think it might be in other places, right?
Yeah, totally. I think so. We're both born and raised here. We've been here for literally our families have been here for generations. And so I think it was more we were introduced to real estate as a vehicle to build wealth. And then it was a no-brainer to invest in our backyard because we literally didn't know anything else. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I think from the outside looking in, it can be very daunting. Like people, because of our price points, our median home price is $1.1 million. So the fixers, like the teardowns we're buying at like $1 million, $900,000. But for us, it was just like, this is our backyard. This is it.
The reality of where we live. So we didn't know anything else. And it's funny because when we hear people buying properties at like 100 and selling them at 200, we're like, you know what I mean? It doesn't exist here. So it was daunting in the sense that we just didn't know how to navigate it when we first started. But again, like he said, we didn't know anything else. But we joined the mentorship. You know, we were desperate. We had a lot going on between 2016 and 2018. We got married. We had our two children. We were both running businesses apart from each other and just trying to survive. And, you know, we were $80,000 in debt. And I was like, there has to be something that we're missing. Like, I have all these puzzles. I went to college. We have our own businesses and we're doing everything the way that we were supposed to be doing, but yet we're not getting ahead. So what are we missing? And I remember sitting on the couch, saw a commercial come on for a real estate seminar, how to, you know, buy and renovate properties.
Houses with none of your own money.
Yeah. And I said, all right, that's it. And we went. And he was very reluctant to go. He was like, that's a full-on bullshit scam. You know what I mean? And I was like, maybe, but let's just see like what it is. And then the rest is kind of history. We just started our investing education. And then we just took crazy amounts of action and fumbled our way through the first couple of deals, but just kept going.
Yeah.
And that was like 6 years ago.
Can I stop you though? Because you're saying you fumbled your way through multi-million dollar deals then. Because if you're in Hawaii, you're doing million dollar deals. So that in and of itself is crazy to me that you guys not only jumped in and took action, that's amazing, but you took the amount of action and the cojones, in my opinion, that it takes to jump into million dollar deals as your first deals. And I know you're saying like, we didn't know any different, but still finding $1 million to finance a deal is finding $1 million to finance a deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
No, I hear you. I hear you. But I think like maybe we were so naive to even understanding the gravity of what we were doing because we were so desperate to change our situation that it was just like, nah, I'm just going to dive in and figure it out because we didn't have another way. You know what I mean? It was like, this is the way.
Yeah, I think it was the pain of staying the same was so great that we were willing to literally try anything at that time.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we jumped in.
Is the beep me or you?
I think
it's you. I don't. I hear it. I hear the beep.
I hear it too.
Oh my gosh.
Do we need the charger? Is it the charger?
Okay, it stopped.
Yeah, it stopped. Oh, and then it went again.
Jinx.
Oh my gosh. Well, we can edit this whole section out if we can get it to stop. Okay. So editors listening to this, just edit that whole section out.
Yeah.
So you jumped into $1 million deals. You guys were, I relate so much to that because I think about when I started my first business and like, I didn't have any fears because I didn't know what to be afraid of.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I didn't have any fears because I didn't know what to be afraid of. And I was so young that it was like, the sky's the limit for me. Mm. So all those people that think age is their limitation, no. As you get older, you get more fearful and you actually limit yourself more.
So, 100%.
That is so true.
And then as you build things and you have assets and you have things to lose, it gets harder and harder and harder to take that
risk.
Yeah.
Dude, that's wild to think about. But that's so true.
It is wild. Yeah. Like my first business, my husband and I, we sold our house. We moved in with my parents. And we had two little kids in tow and it was just like, whatever, like, we'll just make it work. We'll do it. Right. Yeah. We didn't really have much. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, and I didn't really care. I wasn't really emotionally attached to that house. Now I think about like the house I live in now. I would never want to lose this house. Right. Like, I wouldn't sell this house to start any stupid business, you know, like all this stuff that you get like attached to over time. It's amazing to me that you guys did this where you are. But let's talk about the deal itself. Where did you find it? What's the story with it? What were the bunnies? Let's start from the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this deal is on the Big Island. So we do most of our business on Oahu, but we also buy deals in the Big Island because we are building our portfolio up there. It's a better cash flow market. Mm-hmm. So this deal actually came from a fellow investor that we had met through a mentorship. And so basically his family owned a property, and it was super distressed. The dad had literally had it for 30 plus years. He depreciated the crap out of it. He was basically a tired landlord. Right. Mm-hmm. And so this person that came in was like, this is a lot of work for me. I know that there's potential here, but I don't quite have what it's going to take to actually renovate this thing and get it stabilized and producing income. And so he knew us and he knew that was our jam. We do a ton of renovation stuff. And he knew we were looking for property like that. And so we were like, yes, let's do it. Like I would love to be able to take on that opportunity. And because this guy was, there was a couple things. The owner, so his dad really, really cared about taxes. And his goal was to literally retire from this sale. So he was going to move out into the boonies, basically no electricity, catchment water. And you had to drive down like a 3-mile road to basically find him. So all he cared about was a monthly payment that came in for the rest of his life. That's what his goal was.
Yeah. Even wanted like a prepayment penalty if you paid the loan off early because it's his retirement. That's how he lives. And we're like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally fine with me. Let's drag it out forever.
Yeah, yes, exactly. And so we're just like, okay, this is literally a perfect opportunity for some kind of a creative transaction, right? Now, we had to obviously build a lot of rapport and trust with the father, but we had an inside track to him because we knew his son really, really well, right?
Yeah.
The dad actually had a HELOC on the property, and that was it. And then he had a ton of equity in it. The property itself is based in Hilo Town. It's like a super, super desirable area. A ton of tourists, tourists go there to visit. It's a half acre, so which is a lot of land for Hilo in that area. And there's actually two lots. So two different addresses, two different TMKs. And then on those two lots, there were three houses. Mm-hmm. And so immediately when we looked at each other before anything, we automatically knew that this would be a perfect property for an Airbnb, mm-hmm. potentially Airbnb-ing all three of them out. And so it really came down to, let's figure out a way to structure this that we're going to have a payment low enough that we're going to be able to cash flow, right? The problem was these three houses were super bus up. Mm-hmm. So they had major foundation issues. They had been neglected for a really, really long time. And so we knew there was going to be an extensive remodel that went into it. And Tris can talk about the remodel, but what I didn't want to do is structure something creatively with a HELOC.
Yeah.
And so because I had a good relationship with him, when I talked to the dad, I basically got him to turn his HELOC into a 30-year fixed loan. Mm. So he went back to the bank and he renegotiated with the bank and put that $149,000 HELOC into a 30-year loan. And then we created a seller finance note for the equity in the property. So basically, we bought the house for $650,000. Well, all three houses and two lots.
Yeah.
For $650,000. We took over the $149,000 loan subject to, and then we created.
Was that all of the HELOC or was that some of an underlying other loan too?
That was just HELOC. That was all just HELOC. So he owned the property free and clear. He took out the HELOC to do some renovations on another property that he had. And so he, I mean, he's sitting on a bunch of equity. You know what I mean? And then the note that we created for the seller finance second was, I think it was like 469. Yeah, it was for the difference. And then we have that paid out over 30 years at a 4.5% interest rate, which at that time when we bought it, it was
like, oh my gosh, this is kind of high.
Yeah. Like we were at sub 3% interest rate.
Now you're like, oh my gosh, it's a great rate.
Yeah. But basically, we solved every problem that the seller had. We found all the bunnies and we gave them solutions, right? And so he wasn't paying a big tax implication all at one time. Mm-hmm. We were paying him monthly payments over the next 30 years, which satisfied his need for cash every month. Mm-hmm. And we were giving him a good amount of money for the property in its current condition.
Yeah.
So the property now is probably worth $1.2 million, but that Hawaii is different. Like, well, we appreciate at an astronomical rate, and we did do a lot of renovation to the property that she can talk about.
Yeah, so that was probably the most challenging part of this whole deal and transaction was doing the renovation, because although Hilo is an amazing place to acquire property and build your portfolio, you have to have solid crews. I mean, that's in any place you go. And we, living on Oahu, didn't have solid crews. So we ended up flying up our Oahu-based crew up there to renovate the houses. Luckily, one of the homes was in pretty good shape. It had a newer roof and the most solid foundation. It still needed to be shored up a little bit, but so the crews could stay and we could house them while they worked on the property. So altogether, the renovation took a long time. I want to say like 9-10 months, and I mean three houses, and cost us $200,000. But these were very old, original, single wall construction, metal roof, plantation style Hawaiian homes, and so they needed a lot of love. So we had to replace two of the roofs. We had to changed some of the windows out that weren't even functional anymore. Basically gutted the interior of one of them and had to rework the layout because it didn't work as it sat, just to try and make it as functional as possible. And so, yeah, that was a labor of love. Like, so we would be flying up there consistently to try and oversee and push things as further, I mean, as quickly as you could. So like in Hawaii in general, if you think something is going to take you or should take you 2 weeks, it's going to take you a month. So then if you
at least,
but then if you're in Hilo, what you think is going to take you a month is probably going to take you 3 months. So,
oh girl, yeah. I wish I would have talked to you guys. So we bought a property near Hilo.
Yeah.
Actually, Pace bought a property near Hilo. Great deal. So monthly payments only $1,300 a month.
Mm-hmm.
It is a 2,500 square foot house with an ohana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, and it's on an acre.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so it's a great house.
Totally.
Love it. But it needed a lot of work. And so for us, it didn't need a lot of work. It didn't need that much work from what I was looking at. But mm-hmm. I didn't realize that meant $100,000. Right. Oh, yeah. Like, so you just said you did three houses for $200,000. That's your cruise, right? Like,
yes.
Oh, yeah. Our cruise that we had to fly up.
And house.
Yeah.
So we did end up finding, and I love that people are listening to this right now because everybody thinks, let's buy a house in Hawaii. Number one, closing took 2 additional months.
Yeah.
Number two, right? Number two, finding a property manager, because we're not local, right? Yep. Took probably another 2 to 3 months.
Yep.
Because we'd get one and then they'd fall off the face of the planet. We'd get another one, they'd fall off the face of the planet.
Audio commercial, get creative for sub-2 students to join pacescommunity.com. Hey, while you're listening to this episode, do you ever think, man, I'm sick of everybody else winning at the game of real estate using all these creative finance strategies that Pace has obviously taught them? They've obviously joined a community of people that are collaborating, helping each other, being go-givers, meeting up in person, going on appointments with each other, showing each other how their businesses work, and filling all the gaps of understanding in each other's brains. Well, if you are ready to make a change in your business and actually get the traction that you've been praying for, hoping for, thinking about, and making goals all around, the best way to do that is join a community of people helping people. Go to joinpacescommunity.com to get started.
Then number three, finding a contractor mm-hmm. and a contractor at a reasonable price or that didn't have a wait list. Mm-hmm. So luckily I have a friend that's actually from Oahu mm-hmm. and nice. he lived with us at the time when we got this project and he has family on the Big Island.
Nice.
And so I was like, you have to know somebody, right? Like you have, like you, all of you Hawaiians know, you're all cousins and aunts and uncles. And like,
yes,
you all know,
we're all related somehow.
They're all related. So he was like, yeah, I got some people. So he sent me, honestly, if you guys needed a contractor, like this is probably the most solid. He was amazing at communication, which is rare for Hawaii. He was fast.
Yeah.
And honestly, he was one of the most reasonably priced contractors we had. And I've been thoroughly impressed with his service and what he's done. And he came in and looked at like the materials we had and was like, this is salvageable. This isn't salvageable. Like he wasn't just like throw everything away like everybody else.
We need everything new. Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing.
And
because
if you guys need somebody, I can.
Yeah, we might have to hit you up after this.
I will hit you up after this because I mean, just like, as you know, it's a great place to buy property as long as you have the good teams. And if you find somebody, you got to hold on to them. So we ended up stabilizing it and I had to, fly up one of our friends who specializes in furnishing and she helped me. I mean, I bought all the furniture, but she sent her up there.
She set everything up.
And so it's a great asset for us now. It cash flows for us every single month. I don't know how long we've had it. How long have we had it?
We've owned it for, almost 2 years.
Yeah.
Yep. But
are you occupied all the time or how does that work there? I mean, cause you don't really have a season. It's the same, the weather's the same all year round pretty much.
Yeah. It's
season is definitely year round. I would say we're at 85% a month occupancy, which is crazy good. Mm-hmm. We have it set up. So like, it's one of the nicest Airbnbs in that area, if not the nicest. Most of the Airbnbs in that area are older homes that haven't been renovated. And so we set it up where you can rent one of the houses, you can rent two of the houses, you can rent all three of the houses. Yeah. We can have three different guests up on the property. The houses are very strategically placed on the lot where you can have two renters on at the same time and they won't run into each other. So it honestly couldn't have been built or written any better than for a short-term rental right there. Yeah,
and it's a very unique property. I feel like you don't realize from the street what you're walking into because it's set up off the street. And so you walk upstairs to get up there and it's almost like a freaking magical garden when you walk in there because you just see nothing but tropical plants everywhere. And then you just have house one, which is a 3-bedroom, 1-bath. And then you have one house straight ahead of you, which is a 3-1. And then you have the tiniest one in the corner. It's a 2-1 with this like massive, beautiful field in between. Like it's pretty magical.
Yeah.
I love that so much. Honestly, my husband and I have always talked about having a piece of property there, but it's kind of like one of those things where you're like, you don't know what you're getting into. So I've always been kind of like, Then we did this project and now I feel a little bit more confident.
Yeah, now you got the crew. So well, you're like, that's the hardest part. Pace
is a test dummy for you, right? So you're like, no, I can do it.
I might consider it now that I know what to expect, right? Yeah. And honestly, everyone is so great there. It's just time moves at a little bit different pace.
Yes.
And so, way slower. And that's as long as you're expecting it.
Yeah.
We call it Hawaiian time. So
Yeah, as long as you're expecting it, it's okay, right? It's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and plan for it accordingly, right?
So I'm going to recap really quick, though, because it sounds like to me you found a diamond in the rough, essentially, right? Like you found this deal that like the properties weren't in that great of shape and probably somebody else who didn't have the resources you had, they probably wouldn't have felt like they were comfortable taking it on.
Yep.
Number two, you had the knowledge from being in sub two to say, okay, I know I don't want to take over a HELOC, but I could go and we could get a different loan and we could take over that loan subject to and then give him what he wants, which is an never-ending payment monthly for the equity that's left over, which means your entry fee was what?
Our entry fee was $31,000 mm-hmm. on a $650,000 purchase.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Well, yeah. I mean, from my perspective, the entry fee is 31 plus the 200,000 you had to spend plus your furnishings, but still even now you have a cash flowing asset that is well worth the funds that you put into it. And it's going to appreciate at so much more. All of that equity now that you have in the property is yours and yours alone.
Yep.
And without this, you guys, like for, obviously it sounds like you went into some other groups before this, you've been in some other groups and where you've learned some tactics, but did they talk about subject two like this? Would you have felt comfortable handling this without this community?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Yeah, no. I mean, the groups that we joined before were very traditional, focused on like the fix and flip space. Yeah. You know what I mean? And the safe space. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then not equipping you with the right tools, right? And so, we always talk about it, but like joining Sub 2, meeting Pace, getting involved in the community had really changed the trajectory of our business, right? In so many ways. So it allows us to, I think the number one thing is help more sellers. Like we're problem solvers, right? And so we need to be able to be equipped with as many options as possible. Our job is to provide options. And I don't think that it wouldn't have been able to come up with a creative solution for this seller had we not learned about this, right? Yeah. I mean, it's fairly simple.
I mean, in addition to creative finance, because once you have that tool on your tool belt, you're just able to structure deals and where there weren't deals, there are now, right? But it was more so the community that came along. Like we have lifelong partners and friends from this that are all over the freaking nation, which is crazy. But it really taught you how to run a business Because before it was like you, all these other mentorships teach you a skill set on how to do something with real estate, but they don't teach you how to run it as if it were a business. And that was the main thing that I think that, I mean, not the main thing, there's so many things, but that was one game changing thing from Sub 2 is obviously community, learning how to actually run your business like a business. And then of course, all the skills that you need to be able to create a deal that is a win-win for you as the buyer and then the seller.
You know what you just said, you said where there weren't deals, there now are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You said it in passing, but that is the epitome of what I found within this community. Where there weren't deals, there now are. Where people see obstacles and issues and problems, mm-hmm. we see solutions and tools that other people aren't using and methods that other people aren't using and thought processes that other people are like not comfortable using. And I think it's because it comes with some kind of stigma or stereotype that what you're doing is not kosher or whatever it may be.
Right.
And the reality is that you gave this seller exactly what he wanted while also making yourselves feel comfortable because you're like, I don't really want to take over a HELOC. He didn't want to pay it off. You didn't want to pay it off. Mm-hmm. So how do we solve this problem? Many people would have walked away from that.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah,
exactly.
I totally agree. And I think that it's crazy because over time, like when we walked into this deal, we had been doing some like creative transactions prior, right? But when I talked to the seller for the first time, I saw this whole thing play out. Like it's just almost become second nature. And it's like, you know what? I have the perfect solution to give you every single thing you wanted. And to think back to before I was equipped with that strategy, like being able to do that, my go-to is cash. That's all I can do. I can do cash. And that would have not solved any of his problems. He wouldn't have sold me the house, the property. If I offered him cash, it didn't matter how much cash I gave him.
Yeah.
Like he didn't want
that.
Well,
he don't want to pay the taxes on it. So that's not an option for him.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's so crazy to me because like you said, before I was in this world, I had a thought process about things and I wouldn't have been able, it was amazing when I first got into Sub 2, I could listen to Pace talk to somebody and he'd go, well, why don't you do this? Or why don't you structure it this way? Or well, I think maybe you could do this. Or have you looked into doing something like this? And they'd be like, no, I never even thought about that. And now that's the way my brain thinks. It's the way your brain thinks, where we can walk into a scenario and see somebody talking about all the things they want, buyer and seller both. Right.
Yeah.
And say, why don't you just do this? Or you could do that. Or you could do this. Right. Like which one feels best for you? And everyone just looks at you like, can you do that? Is that a thing you can actually do?
Yeah. I mean, there's so much power in options and being able to provide those options. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not even talking about the private lenders that we brought into the deal. So we're $0 out of pocket. You know what I mean? And like the option that we created for them to now create wealth for themselves passively while they sleep, you know? So that's like a whole nother thing.
Yeah.
That's just, there's so many layers to this. And this is the thing is like, it is intimidating when people first get involved with creative finance because we are the creative thinkers of the real estate world where it's like the complexity of the transactions that I deal with now are off the chart. There are things that I'm like, okay, calm down. Can we like take it down five notches? I don't think it needs to be this complicated. But when you have a desire or a need for something, and then you have a seller that has a need for something, and then you meet other people where you're like, you solve a problem for me as a PML, but you also want to own properties, but you don't own properties. How about we give you some equity here, whatever you end up doing, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just assuming based off of some comments that you just said that that's what you were meaning by that. But, you know, there's so many things that happen within this community that I've never seen outside in the traditional real estate space. And for a while, you know, I was one of the naysayers too, that was probably like, that's a dangerous place where people are going to, you know, hurt each other and get into bad relationships. And no doubt that happens in real estate, but it happens in traditional real estate just as much. So it's like,
absolutely.
If anything, you're doing everyone a disservice by not exploring these alternative options. mm-hmm. and not yep. taking the risk that you think you're taking, you know?
Well, it's the power of knowledge. You're only held back by the information that you don't have yet. And then once yes. you have that information, your capacity to do more things, solve more problems, help more people just continues to expand.
I feel like too, when we first kind of get started in real estate, a lot of us are coming from a place of like, we're just trying to crawl out of something or trying to make more money, or it's very money motivated, but there comes a point where that changes into a more purposeful, passionate mission of like impacting the ones you care about the most around you. And I think that it turns into like, now we have like a responsibility, right? Like it's our responsibility to put ourselves out there and help all of these sellers that once maybe never had an option or are struggling or having to cut a check to sell their house, like whatever it may be. But when you switch that perspective from it to be a responsibility of yours, a lot of things can change.
Well, and I think that's why Subdue has grown so intensely as it has in like the all the best ways, is because I think everyone carries that responsibility. Once they have that key that unlocks that door and they're living in this whole new world, it's like everyone wants to share that from the rooftops, like scream it. You know what I mean?
It's bizarre, to be honest with you. It is bizarre. Yeah. It's only something you can explain when someone's actually been in the communities.
Right.
Because now we have the branched off communities of Sub 2, like Sub 2 is a community, and then we've created Top Tier and Gator, top you know, all these other. Gator,
I mean, to be honest, we can't keep up. Y'all are.
It's crazy. It's crazy. No, I mean, I did not think I would be here. Are you kidding me? I don't know how I ended up here, but it's been a wonderfully wild ride, and it's just so fascinating to watch people like you and other people in your scenario find their niche and figure out what they want to do with it and really use it to its maximum potential, right? Where you're figuring out how to do things that no one's necessarily taught you how to do. You just haven't, it's almost like you've unlocked a separate part of your brain. Yeah. This is how I explain understanding Sub 2 now, right? So I came from traditional real estate where it was like, you get a loan and it's your loan and you qualified with your credit, or you have a parent with a cosigner, and then you buy the house cash and the seller moves on with their life and that's it, right? And seller finances were rare. You know, all that stuff is rare. Like, this is just very straightforward. Follow the rules, stay in the line, don't go outside of it. To coming into this world where it was like, at first it was scary, and now I'm like, why doesn't everyone do this? This is crazy. No, how does not everybody know that this is a thing that they can do? You know, why doesn't everyone do this? And it's because people are scared. They're scared of the uncharted territory. And this isn't necessarily a highly taught about subject, right? And so people don't have a lot of knowledge on it. And so being able to navigate that the way you guys have, right? And coming to a seller who probably was already, like you said, skeptical about selling to you in the first place, and then convincing him, hey, I won't take over your HELOC, but I will take over a loan if you went and got a loan, right? And all of that, like, that is a huge step to get to. Yeah. And I commend you guys on being able to feel comfortable enough having those conversations, because that's not just one conversation. That's multiple conversations. That's time to speak to somebody and really narrow down what it is exactly that they want, and for them to trust you, and for you to then reinforce that trust by being like, yes, we've now loved this property and flourished it and turned it into what it is today. And I'm sure if he goes by and sees it, he's like, wow, look at what it turned into, you know?
Yeah.
So, wow, you guys, I mean, I feel like there's so many little nuggets within this time that I've spent with you today. This is so awesome. The next time I get out to Hawaii, I'll have to link up with you guys and see. But I owe you a contractor contact. And I also want to say, before we jump off, where there were not deals, there are now, because that was Tristan just blew me out of the water. She just blew me over it. And I was like, yep, that's it. That's the it.
Yeah. Where there that's were not the real that. Right there. There's the real.
Yeah. So good.
Thank you so much, you guys. You guys have been so awesome. I just look forward to seeing your guys' success, and I can't wait to meet you in person.
Yeah.
Right on. Thank you so much for having us. Yep. We appreciate you guys.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Get Creative Podcast. We hope you found it both informative and inspiring. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and stay tuned for more exciting financial insights. Until next time, keep those creative ideas flowing and get creative.